Welcome back, everyone, to the Block 44 podcast, where we are going to every stadium across the country to meet their fans and ask them about their opinions on world football. Today we have Theo. Theo, how long have you been a Saints fan for?
I've been a Saints fan ever since I was born. It's ran in the family. My poor mother always says if I only supported Liverpool, you'd be a Liverpool fan. It'd be nice and easy.
Yeah, it's character building, isn't it?
It is character building, and I think, you know, it's genuinely, it's the resilience you've built up after 10 years. I think there's a sport Bible poll which ranks Southampton as the hardest done by fan base. Yeah. I was in this bowl when we lost 9-0 against Leicester.
Yeah.
In that so rainy I. October day.
I left at half time.
I stayed the full 90 minutes, mate.
But did you? Yeah. Why?
Character building.
I mean that is an extreme of character building. This not my personal take, but yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
And obviously you're there to watch your recovery when we got to the playoff final and won at Wembley.
Yep.
What a day that was.
That was genuinely, I think, the last day I think we did not make a mistake in a game that I can remember.
Yeah.
And do you know what? And that just worries me. But what a day that was in general, yeah.
Can you describe your feelings from that game?
Well, that game, to be honest with you, I don't remember much of it because I was horribly drunk. Yeah, but I remember, I was, you know what? It was just a day getting into London, getting on the train in the middle of town, and then you see all the Saints fans gradually coming up, and it was such buzz around the day. And, you know, when I walk into St Mary's, normally, you know, everyone comes at their different times, but even then there was, 45,000 people, yeah. Saints fans, cheering on the badge, and I think we were so united as a club. I think Russell Martin's first season kind of galvanised us all together, and it was a must-win game, and to be fair, he delivered.
He did.
Yeah, and the chance going say hello to Pompey, yeah. to the Leeds fans, not working out now, but...
No, it's not. Well, can you just... So, since that day... I think we're just over 500 days later. Can you describe your feelings over the past nearly 2 years as a Saints fan? Obviously, from that high at Wembley to now.
I think it's changed. Of course, I think when we, you know, I think previously we were getting away. We have been quite a relegation scrap club. And I think, you know, this kind of year was a wake-up call. Mm. So I think a lot of owners that the Prem is just levels above the Championship. I think that year... of the promoted clubs going straight down for second consecutive year, the promoted clubs going down, I think gave a wake up just how difficult the Prem is nowadays. And there's such a gap between that and the Championship. And that whole year, it was frustrating. I think you'll agree. I just remember to Russell Martin, he wasn't adaptable. And he was stuck with his philosophy and trying to watch Joe Lumley pass it out the back, bless him, but it was never going to happen.
No.
And it was frustrating, and I just genuinely thought this could have gone so much better. This couldn't have gone any worse. I mean, you know, we were 1 point off being the worst team in Premier League history.
Yeah.
And then watching a new manager come in, and it's the same again when Nathan Jones took over. Mm. Ivan Juric gone after a few games, and appointing the assistant, and that clearly going really well. It was just I just between that playoff final. Was and the current day now, there's not been much enjoyment. I think the only enjoyment I remember was watching when we drew to Man City.
Yes.
When we got that 12 point. That was, I think, my favourite
day. I went nuts that day.
That was genuinely, it was a draw, a 0-0 draw. But consider we were so defensively fragile that season.
Yeah.
But to get a 0-0 draw against Man City, you weren't having the best of days, but Man City getting a 0-0 draw, mate, such a good day.
But also the fact we celebrated becoming the second best team, second worst team, sorry,
what
in Premier
that?
League history instead of being the joint worst.
What was that tweet that we put out? Oh, it was the official Southampton Football Club, the most shameless tweet ever.
Oh, the one about Derby.
To say, yeah. Oh, unlucky lads, until next year. Oh, it's so
better
shameless.
Next time. Well, I mean, Wolves are going to come close to that this year. They've only got a couple of points right now.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's worrying. And they're kind of in the same predicament as we were. I think they're still owned by Fushun. The Chinese owners,
yeah,
who it's the reason why Yao didn't work when we was previous owners, because the Chinese government just stopped football investment.
Oh, is it the Chinese government don't?
I think they were. Fact check this, but yeah. I think over the time when the Chinese Super League was all of a sudden good, and now it's stopped. Big clubs are going bankrupt in China because they can't be bankrolled anymore, but they still have those massive wages on the book. They don't make those transfers anymore, and Wolves have not invested to what they were doing. You know, buying that Championship, even having Ruben Neves and, you know, Rui Patricio and just like those sorts of players in that Wolves team. And now seeing like they've sold too many players.
But they just haven't replaced a single one of them.
They've not replaced a single one. Lost Cunha, just mental. And he's running games for United now.
Yes.
Such a massive loss.
It was a good signing for United, I think.
Yeah.
Really good signing. So obviously we've gone over what it feels like to be a Saints fan during last season. Becoming, the second worst team in Premier League history. However, I think that says a lot about the quality of our fan base.
Yeah.
Because for me, I don't know about you, I'll ask you in a second, but I would have said Southampton had the best set of fans in the league last year. Who do you think had the best set of fans in the Premier League last year?
I wouldn't go that far. I mean, we were at the end of the day, I still think we have got a really solid fan base. I'm not even this year, if you look at it, we had the third highest attendance of the Championship. We're behind Coventry and Leicester. Coventry, of course, smashing it with Frank Lampard at the moment.
Yeah, they're doing really well.
To be fair, I do apologise to Frank Lampard. I think I'm going to be filling out a load of apology forms today, but Frank Lampard's one of them. But I think our fan base come in, week out. And it is just impressive that we are still doing good numbers. And to be fair, we were doing really well compared to the season we went down. I think we were having similar attendances to that, and we were doing so poorly.
Well, even last season in the Premier League, we sold out every single away game when we knew how bad we were.
The away
when we were
fans
going
this season.
The away fans have been incredible.
Underrated.
Yeah.
I think generally, you look at those tier lists of away fans, and I genuinely think Saints are up there.
100%.
The only away game I went to last year, well, apart from Wembley, which was, again, unbelievable, just having that kind of energy around the ground. Admittedly, we were all under one front, but I went to Liverpool in the Carabao Cup 3-0 down, but singing constantly throughout.
Are you at Liverpool as well?
Liverpool 3-0 Carabao Cup. Not this season, the year before.
Yeah, season before.
But going to that genuinely, when that, I think Shea Charles scored that offside goal, mate.
He did.
That
first
minute.
The scenes in that first bit where we thought we were 1-0 up. Yeah.
And genuinely, we played, it's a story of Russell Martin, we played quite well.
It was good football.
We could have got a goal or two in that. But I think the Saints fans turn up thick and thin. I think it's a shame that those away fans have moved a bit because you watch some of the clips. Shout out Jason's football page. I love him to pieces. You can just he says he's a guy who just films the Saints fans, and you see him on my Instagram feed. And I tell you what, you see some of those just videos, and it's just the funniest stuff.
Yeah.
And mate, they're clearly I don't go away football. I think a lot of people in comments going, "What's this guy talking about? You don't go away matches." I don't have the time, but I wish I could. But it just seems some of the stuff I see. And I think generally having selling out constant allocations in a Premier League worst season ever, and having that dedication to still take numbers up to Newcastle to sit in a terrace miles away.
Yeah, because these away games aren't close. We are right on the south coast, the furthest away from everyone that you could possibly be in the Premier League. Well, on par with Bournemouth and Brighton, obviously. But nowhere is a close away day.
No. But I'd say, you know, when close means like a 2-hour train on London and those trains being hot and sweaty, I don't blame some fans who sometimes go, do you know what, I'll sit this one out. Yeah. But the fact we just kept on selling out, mate, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And being the hardest done by fan base in the Prem, probably, you know, statistically being found out. I think to still have the atmosphere that we had against, I think at the beginning of games, when we are keen for it, and we're still having that atmosphere, even after everything that's happened, I think it's really impressive.
Yeah, I agree. I think being a Saints fan has been tough. It is character building. That is a fact. But where do you think it went wrong? Because obviously, it feels like a lifetime ago, but it wasn't actually that long ago when we had Ronald Koeman and he led us to our first ever European season.
Right. It's a question. I'm going to ask you first. When do you reckon the club went downhill? When do you reckon? Because there are so many answers to this.
There are. I mean, you could take it back from when we sold everyone after when that Ronald Koeman season happened, when obviously he left, Mane, Tadic. Well, Tadic left a couple of years after, but Van Dijk. And everyone just seemed to sort of leave. But the main turning point for me, I'd probably say, is sacking Ralph. Because it was that season where it all went wrong in the Prem that sent us tumbling down the pecking order, really. But you could argue it went as far back to the Ronald Koeman days. Because at the end of the day, we didn't replace our team well enough.
No. But I reckon during that Koeman season, of course, when you're a club like Southampton, you are realistically going to have to do a buy and sell model. And that did work. And, you know, you got, even when we came up, you know, we're getting rid of Lallana, Luke Shaw, and then we replaced, I wouldn't say we replaced them well, but, you know, we did replace them and we still kept on going and having
kept climbing up the league,
And I'd even say throughout the whole time, we've still had some good recruitment players. You know, like if you can think back, we've had Lavia, Livramento, kind of during that, I think they were last Ralph years, I think, in the Premier League.
That was, but that Ralph was sacked, that was the season we got relegated, so that was... Ralph got sacked at the start, and then that's when it all.
It was. I think the unfortunate issue was is when I think the club started going wrong when Claude Puel went, because Claude Puel was the manager who we still were eighth place roughly. Yeah, we went to a Carabao Cup final.
He did.
And then the first season with Pellegrino was the one where we started going down, and then having Mark Hughes, and it having those sorts of managers where it just seems so negative. I think that's when it can't. We started realizing that we are now a relegation scrap.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it started going poor. I think Ralph was a good appointment. He took Leipzig to second place, literally just before he came to Southampton. And then again, when he was sat, I think it was such a negative thing.
Yeah, I thought Ralph did do really well with us.
I think Ralph did wonders.
Really, really well.
Would you have him back?
I would.
Yeah.
Would you take Ralph back?
Ooh. Things. If I was in the mindset of Sport Republic, it would feel like a backwards move. But it wouldn't necessarily be the wrong backwards move.
Yeah.
Hiring Russell Martin back again, complete wrong move. I don't think it will happen.
No, that won't happen.
Yeah.
I think Alfie House with the club said that won't happen.
No. But I'd say back to, like, you know, the Ralph eras, the relegations, you know, there was some good recruitment out of that year. We sold Lavia for 60 million. We sold Livramento for 30 to Newcastle. I think we still had that kind of glimpses of good recruitment. I think it was just a shame to kind of get rid of Ralph when we did. And, you know, Captain Hindsight, of course, hiring Nathan Jones. Mate, he's doing well. Another apology for him. He's doing well at Charlton.
That's the interesting thing, because it's like we had that sort of Manchester United effect where people would come to our club and just dive bomb. Then they'd leave and then start doing well again.
So, yeah. But I think you'll get onto it later about kind of why all these managers are doing poorly. Because we've, Will Still, Russell Martin, Nathan Jones... you know, Ivan Juric as well.
Yeah.
He was doing well at Torino before us, and now he's kind of done a nose dive. And
well,
now
he got sacked by Torino, didn't he? Before he came to us.
Well, I'm not sure, but I think he's being sacked by Atalanta already.
Yeah, he has. Yeah, he's just been sacked by Atalanta.
Goodness me.
Yeah, he went there, took Sulemana with him.
Thank God.
Well, I think he's done quite well there as well since he's been there, I think.
I read a stat, and he's completed one of the most successful take-ons of this calendar year in the Premier League.
Yes.
He's not played since
May.
Yeah,
I saw he's still like sixth or seventh in that
sixth
table.
Sixth or seventh in that table with about 30-odd.
Yeah, he did have glimpses of good football. It wasn't always, admittedly, but...
Yeah, but I think back to the idea of, you know, where a club went badly, gone to Ralph, got relegated... And then, you know, we saw glimpses with Russell Martin. And I think as much as he had that kind of, that galvanised, you know, period that we've mentioned about how the fans have been kind of brought back together in that playoff final, which was such a magical day, I think having that sort of faith that we did, when we didn't really have that with Ralph, well, you say that he lost 9-0 twice, but...
He did, yeah.
To have that faith with Russell Martin and then for it to kind of go that poorly when he wasn't even anywhere near... changing the style of play.
No.
I think that was such a poor decision to kind of keep him. And that's when I think that's when a lot of people started losing faith with Sport Republic.
Yeah, they did. But I mean, the interesting thing about Russell Martin is he went 25 games unbeaten in the Championship season before last, obviously on our promotion push. And that's no easy thing to do by any stretch of the imagination. And although, yes, he probably should have adapted a bit more, do you think the style of play worked? Like, what do you think ultimately impacted his sacking? Because obviously we did have some injuries. Ramsdale was probably the biggest one of them all.
Massive, yeah. Do you remember playing in the Championship? And when you can play in the Championship, you can get away with a lot more than you can in the Prem. But when we were playing in the Championship, I still remember watching so many mistakes. Even when we were on that, we were flaky in defence. We let in numbers.
I looked at that team.
And I went, we're playing well, but we're in the Championship at the end of the day. The standard is, again, there is such a gap now that the best players in the world, Granit Xhaka winning the title with, Leverkusen now goes to Sunderland. That is the gap we're talking about. That's the quality of the Prem. We were still making mistakes during Russell Martin Ball in the Championship. Mm. They weren't necessarily penalised in the Championship, but in the Prem, we've seen it, we've made mistakes and they get pounced on.
But we also had our attack to rely on in the Championship, whereas not so much in the Prem.
And that's where I think, you know, you talk about 26 games unbeaten in the Championship. Is that impressive? Yeah, but we're meant to be doing stuff. When we were favourites to go up.
We were. Yeah, we were. I do understand that. But I mean, to go 25 games unbeaten still does show some form of defensive...
Yeah. It shows you're getting something right.
Yeah, it does. I mean, there have been lots of problems going forward. I think Ramsdale plugged a big hole that we had, because obviously I personally love, quite like Gavin Bisogno.
Yeah.
But obviously Aaron Ramsdale is a cut above. Mm.
And I think, to be fair to Gav, he, you know, this is again interesting decision making. Went straight up into the Premier League from League One in his first season.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's definitely, his confidence was really impacted then. Mm. I think generally he's in his Championship season, he was doing really well.
Yeah,
that Preston should have been a goal. It was unlucky for him to not score that.
It was.
But, oh, mate, I think he was on fans' favourite then.
Yeah.
I think during the Championship, he was injured. In the Premier League, sorry, he was injured quite a lot. I think.
Yeah, he was. And he has been unlucky with injuries.
Yeah, and I think he has been unlucky with his confidence. He should at this point in his age, in his development, he should be comfortable in the Championship. We're not really seeing that at the moment.
No, but I think with everything that's gone on over the last few years, it's enough to knock anyone's confidence through the floor, really, isn't it?
Yeah, but I don't know where we were, to be honest with you.
Well, it doesn't matter where we were. Let's take it to now, in the current state of affairs. So, Will Steele has been sacked. Mm. We have just won our first back-to-back games in over 500 days. We've scored 3 goals in a game for the first time in over 500 days.
More wins than managers at one point, until very recently.
Yeah, now we have more managers than wins in a period, don't we? Mm. So, there's been a lot going on. So, how would you take what's going on right now, obviously, with everything that has gone on, but also going forward, what do you think is going to happen next? Do you think Eckert's going to get the job, or will it go somewhere else? I mean, the fans made it very clear on the weekend, no Gary O'Neill.
Of course, and I think Sport Republic, if they do hire Gary O'Neill, which they won't.
No,
they
not
won't.
A chance.
But if they did, I think that would be a genuinely, there would be no backing them. Mm. I think, you know, having that much of an opinion on a manager constantly chanted till the last minute of the game, genuinely, I think they know it's a no-go. And that's a good thing.
But I think, again, go back to Alfie, spoke to the club and said they rubbished it anyway.
Yeah.
There may have been rumours, but obviously after the weekend.
Clearly not.
Absolutely not. I think with his Pompey links, but even as his ability as a coach, he's probably, definitely not
right. I've looked at his win rate in the Prem. It's not even been anywhere near kind of numbers you really need to stay up.
I've spoken to some Bournemouth fans when he was there and they said avoid Gary O'Neill at all costs.
I think Wolves would say the same. Well, a lot of them would.
Yeah.
But I think, would you say Tonda should come in?
No.
And I think, I mean, I always say this, it's Sod's law that he looks like Ruben Sellers. And I think fact he looks like Ruben Sellers, the exact same scenario as Ruben Sellers. Yeah. And I think we're one of the only teams who I've seen us, you know, Sport Republic, I've seen who've hired their assistant managers quite a lot. Mm. And I think with Ruben Sellers, we had that one game against Chelsea, very scrappy, 1-0, quite a scrape.
We had the Arsenal game, though, where we nearly won.
Nearly coulda, woulda, shoulda at the end of the day.
Yeah.
We've had so many of those nearly win games. I think Martin's had so many nearly win games.
He has. I think it's a shame about Ruben. I thought that there's a good coach in there, but obviously very young, very underdeveloped, and took over the club at a very bad time. It was never ever going to go this way.
And it was a poor decision to take over a club. We weren't as in a state as I'd say we were, but taking over a club at that point where they were kind of, you know, teetering on relegation, probably pretty much confirmed, but hiring such an unexperienced manager in that state is clearly not going to work. And, you know, he clearly, when he went to Reading, and, you know, it's League One, and he was Reading are a respected club in League One, but he still did really well considering the administration issues.
It looks like he's done well and been liked everywhere he's been since he's left us.
Except Sheffield. We're not talking about Sheffield.
No, but then again, Sheffield at the moment, the state of affairs there, speaks for itself, really.
I just think the fact that Tonda looks like Sellers, I know that's not a reason, but he looks like Sellers. It's kind of Sod's law that he's in the exact same position as Sellers. Mm. It might end up, if we make a rush appointment, it might end up in the same situation, hiring an unexperienced manager.
Yeah. I can see in the future one day Tonda becoming first team manager.
Yeah.
I don't think that should be now.
I think
right now we need an experienced, well-known name who can get us to the playoffs still this season, because they still have 30 games to go.
I think the last time I remember in football, an assistant manager doing really well was Solskjaer against Man United. And even then, he had to win 5 games on the bounce, win most of his games in the first, even before he got considered for the job.
Yeah.
And I think we need to... I feel sorry for Sport Republic at this time, because it's the international break. If you're going to hire a manager, it's the best time to hire it earlier on and get them started. Whereas, you know, it's now that dilemma. Do you stick with Tonda with the results doing well? Admittedly against 2 relatively poor sides.
Yeah, I don't think the opposition aren't good enough. From what, you probably feel the same, from the performance I saw on the pitch, it's not convincing enough still. Even a win's a win, I think, great, but the performance isn't there yet.
I think, again, it's that this, you know, it's half a bit of a fragile mentality amongst the club, which is going to take years to sort out.
Yeah.
I think some players have to go. I'm not going to mention names. Maybe we should admit it, but not now. But
we can talk about that after.
We'll talk about that after. But I think in terms of what I looked at against Sheffield Wednesday, I thought that first half, bar that horrible error,
yeah,
we would have been 2-0 up. And I would have gone to the half-time, and I think I said to you, it's not a bad performance. However, that second half was dire. I think they had most of the momentum in the game.
They did.
And it's Sheffield Wednesday. They are, you know, they should be relegated. They're in administration.
They even
half
had Jan Valery in midfield.
Jan Valery is a number 7.
Fill players in the right positions as well. It's the club is in a dire situation.
Yeah, and I think the fact we didn't wipe the floor with them.
Yeah, it says a lot. I mean, we can't take anything away from Tonda. He's come in a very hard time.
Yeah.
I think the main thing letting everyone down is probably the mentality of the players, but there are so many reasons why that is probably where it is.
I think that starts from Ralph era. I think from even when you remember that classic, when every time we played on Sky Sports and I watched and tuned in, and it was like points lost from most positions, Southampton would always be at the top, and I'd still say we probably are.
Yeah.
But watching that, and then we were losing 9-0, but then we went on a wonder run. We were so inconsistent. I think the ideology of getting away with it and going into Russell Martin, you know, he's clearly a charismatic bloke. I remember speaking to him once or twice outside the stadium, and he seemed like a really nice guy.
Really lovely guy. Yeah.
He's got a bit of an ego, admittedly. Of course, you know, he kind of thought, you know what, I can do Rangers, I'll sort that suite, I'll play my football in the Premier League because I think I'm that good of a person to implement it.
Yeah.
Didn't work. And I feel like that kind of, the reason he was liked by the dressing room, he had the dressing room on board, clearly.
He's a great people person.
Really, and I think the worry is he signed two players, Flynn Downes, Harbour Bellis. I'm name dropping now, I said I wouldn't. But Harbour Bellis and Flynn Downes, there's Russell Martin players. And I feel like,
but admittedly, watching them in the Championship, they were absolutely phenomenal. Like, I could not imagine, watching Flynn Downes in midfield last two seasons ago, I would not have wanted anyone else in midfield for us in the Premier League. But unfortunately, it just didn't quite
click. It didn't work. I think there is a controversial take. There is a parallel universe not too far from ours that had Russell Martin winning the first couple of games in the Premier League. That could have seen a confidence run.
Well, that first Newcastle game, I thought we were unlucky not to do better in that. I thought we performed really well.
Brentford was 3-0, I think, on the top of my head. Maybe not that, but I remember Nottingham Forest, Newcastle, I think, was the second one.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think we were still unlucky to get there. And, you know, it's
there's again, a games.
Story of Russell Martin. Even Liverpool 3-0 in the Carabao Cup, we're talking about. We should have been got a goal out of there or two. Man United 3-0. I remember early on we were dominating them, and then a poor counter attack which led to a penalty, which then kind of made us concede three. But you know, there are clear routes that we could have gone well under Martin, but I think that in the Championship I think Flynn Downes and Harbour Bellis, admittedly, they are possession based. Ball playing midfielders. Yeah. I think they need to be adaptable at the end of the day, and you need to be adaptable in the Premier League.
100%.
And that's what went wrong. And I think in the Championship now, playing under Will Still, who, again, when I thought he signed, I don't know about you.
I was really excited. Yeah,
an exciting French coach going down a division, and you know, playing that kind of direct football. However, of course, you should have expected that we'd have the ball. It wasn't versatile enough to kind of expect having most of the ball.
Yeah.
We were playing in a half a lot. And again, that's kind of stemming from Russell Martin's kind of...
Because from everything that Will came out and said, it's him saying that it's the Russell Martin part of it, because it's not how he wanted to play.
No, and I think there was a Sky Sports interview that was filmed on Staplewood. I can't remember exactly what he said, but I think he was talking about how a player said, can we even pass there? One of his players in training. And to say that is completely mental. And it clearly shows the effect that Russell Martin's had on these players.
Yeah.
And I think ever since he's left, they've not really backed the manager. And I think Adam Armstrong came and said it, you know, it's like we've not been giving fully 100%, or we are now giving 100% to Tonda.
And that's the thing, the least that should be happening is giving 100% on the
pitch. I feel like, you know, at this club, the Southampton way, again, I'm trying to, I'd love a job in Southampton Football Club, God forbid, I think you would as well.
Yeah.
But, just implementing the Southampton way, bringing it back to, you know, when we were the club that was doing things a bit differently. We were pioneering buy and sell in England.
Oh, yeah.
We were there before Brighton. We were there before Brentford.
They're from Bournemouth even now as well.
Bournemouth now as well. But we were the original. the academy as well, kind of having that La Masia mentality of making the most. And I think we're kind of getting that back. I think credit to Sport Republic where it's due. The academy is pretty good. Amal Mayo, Jaden Momoma, Dom Ballard. Well, I'm going to say Dom Ballard, actually, but he's doing well in later.
Tyler Dibbling.
Robinson as well.
Good players come out of there.
Again, and the academy's kind of doing well. Mm. We're playing Real Madrid, for God's sake.
Yeah.
And credit Sport Republic where it is. But I feel like we need to kind of instill that in the first team, being that club. It does things differently, but gets it done and having fighting till the end. And I feel like we need to kind of bring that back. Yeah. And saying, at the end of the day, you play for the badge, you play for the manager. You don't play for a manager we had ages ago.
No, you don't. But that, as we're brushing on Sport Republic, I believe you have a hot take about Sport Republic. Well, a hot take compared to the rest of the fan base.
I think Sport Republic in. I think, what do you think?
I am with you. So my thoughts on Sport Republic, I think they've actually been really hard done by. The recruitment, so the investment has very clearly been there.
I think I've looked. We had a season where we had a net spend of 140 mil.
Yeah.
And you don't do that with, you've seen it with our previous ownership. You know, we need money. The first money that was pumped into the club and since Chinese owners had it was with Sport Republic.
Yeah, it was.
And, you know, look around. I know, like, normally the older fans go, like, oh, it doesn't matter if we've got a fancy new climbing wall. But, like, the fact they've clearly got intentions to kind of commercialise everything. Admittedly, level one, I've enjoyed it my time there.
Everything,
I don't think it was for me. But there's clearly intentions
I could spend all day in level one.
Clearly intentions to do well with this club. And they've got, they're in it for the long term. And they have, Dragon has passion about the club.
He does. And,
there is no doubt
about that. I think outside of actually playing football, everything is in tip-top condition. Obviously, we've got the Dell that's just open, level one, and there's so many other initiatives that are doing well.
And I think, it's just recruitment, recruitment is a massive need. You've seen Sunderland have completely changed their season.
But they have done the recruitment right. So in Sport Republic's first season, they brought in that, I can't remember his name, the guy before Wilcox, but they brought him in, and then within a few months, he was off to Chelsea. Chelsea had already poached him. Cannot remember his name for the life of me.
No, it will come to me. Do you know, at the end of the podcast, I'll go,
you'll remember then, after we start filming. And then after that, then we got Jason Wilcox.
Who
was the first time as a fan base we've seen someone go, no, that's the price, you pay it or walk away. And I really like that about when we're selling the players, because we first got relegated as well. That's when we got a lot for Romeo Lavia. And I was really happy with that appointment because the sales were good, the incomings were good, and the all-round management of the club was really, really good. And then halfway through that championship season, as we're coming towards the end, I think it's like mid-game, Jason Wilcox hands in his resignation, goes on gardening's leave, and off to Man United he goes. Yep. Then there's a big period of time that we wait for Johannes Spors to come in. To then come and take over. So I think Sport Republic's recruitment has been really good.
Big period of time being the crucial time you need someone Jason Wilcox.
Of course it is. But that just goes to show how good their recruitment has actually been. The other clubs, other big top six clubs, want to take our lot straight away before they even get a chance to implement what they want to do.
And I feel like, no, but there's the lack of consistency. You know, it took us a while to actually see it. I think it was until the very end we actually saw Tool Pool doing well. Admittedly, managers.
He was bought for Nathan Jones.
But sacked off two games.
Exactly. So it never really worked out. So it's all about that. But they have to do what the fans want, because the fans wanted Jones out.
Yeah.
And obviously, they just bought this guy. But it's just because they bought Tool Pool in, they can't keep the manager because of that.
Well, no, but it's common sense I think we've lacked sometimes. And I feel like, you know, Tool Pool being 6'7", not necessarily the most agile player, is not going to be for every manager.
Step overs by Tool Pool.
Against Liverpool.
He made himself a cult hero that day.
But I feel like there are some common sense questions. Why did we not replace our director of football after?
Well, I think they tried. But I mean, to go through two directors of football, probably within the space of a year.
Yeah.
And it's a lot. Because at the end, you want to find someone that's good. Obviously, ultimately, we would clearly punch above our weight in finding people that are too good. Mm. But it's find that right level. Even Spurs now, Juventus are after him.
Well, so you say that, and I think I read something on Twitter of all places. I think there's a front runner, but that's not Spurs.
Is it? Well, that's good for us because
at the
end of the day, we need someone who's going to come in, who's good and going to stay.
Yeah, and I think we need to be a bit more consistent of not how quality the players are, but like how versatile they are. They need to, you know, be able to play bit more, maybe we need to just stick under a tactical philosophy, hopefully one that's more direct, because I think we've seen a lot of Burnley was one of them and we were one of them, of clubs trying to play ticky-tack and not working.
It doesn't work. Unless you're Man City, you can buy the players in.
We need to be consistent for those players who can play that kind of direct football, and we need to be consistent in who we approach as a manager, rather than constantly, you know, Nathan Jones, direct football, and then Russell Martin, then possession heavy, and then
different.
Back to Ivan Juric. We can't be flip-flopping like that, because again, we've seen how the...
Well, it just has a massive effect on the players, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Because they have no idea what football they're trying to play.
Exactly. And it's like Watford.
Yeah.
We're just going through managers like it's nothing at the moment. And I feel like there's some of that. And there's also common sense recruitment in the terms of, you know, you look at the height and physicality of our team. Yeah. We've not had the players that have had the height. And it's been an issue that teams like Leeds have learned from. They've not signed players under 6 foot, mainly.
Yeah.
They've signed a tall attacking team because they expect to be scrappy. They expect to not have the ball, and they expect to be excellent on set pieces. And that's what you need to have in a Premier League team.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Sheffield Wednesday are doing. They know that they're not going to be good players, so let's be good at set pieces.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think I've seen from some of the routines they had in St Mary's, they clearly had some ideas and trying to be a bit different.
Mm.
But I feel like we need to kind of have that kind of common sense, right? Will still wanted to cross balls into the pitch. We didn't need to win set pieces in the Premier League, but let's not buy anyone with any kind of stature.
Yeah.
And not, we still don't have that physicality. And I think we need to kind of think about things.
Mm.
And we're clearly not. And I think that's where it's been the downfall as well, just not that common sense. I think we've been looking too much into the statistics of players. And I think we just need to take a big picture of it and realise, you know, there's all this fun and games. This guy can score X amount of XG. But we've seen it against Swansea. XG doesn't really mean anything if you can't pile it into the net.
You've got to put it in the back of the net. That's the only thing that matters.
And we're desperately crying out for a striker.
When was the last... Because I've got a strong opinion on this. When was the last time you think we had a proper striker?
Danny Ings.
Yeah, same.
And I think his attitude was, unfortunately, a bit rotten at the end of it.
It was.
He barged his way out of the club. To get 30 million, though, off a man on 1 year left of his deal. Yeah, he was quite old as well at that
business.
Time.
Very good business.
And I think...
But the replacement.
Yeah. I think, admittedly, everyone wants a number nine. Everyone wants a good striker. If you have a good striker, everyone wants a good striker at the end of the day. And it's hard to replace him, but to get the people we've had in, like, if you can name them through, Damian Downes looks a bit lost at the moment. Bless him, he's a new player and he's young, but we need someone in this championship.
He's been unlucky at the start.
We need someone to hit the ground running.
Yeah.
Ross Stewart, injury prone massively.
Good when he plays, but yeah, bless him, he can't stay fit.
Yeah, tall pool. Again, he's not played, he can't play for Russell Martin manager.
No.
Che Adams, again, championship. He didn't play every game, but he had good numbers.
He did. I wasn't as big as fan, admittedly, but he did put the
He lacked consistency, though.
He did.
That Danny Ings had. Scoring 20 goals. You know, and it was just that Ralph, when we were top of the table with Ralph Hasenhüttl, with Danny Ings scoring that pretty good goal from a James Ward-Prowse crossing against Liverpool. When Ralph fell to his knees, because I think he beat every single Premier League manager or every single Premier League. It was, I think, the day I felt really connected to this club, apart from the playoff final. And I feel like, you know, it's those days with that proper number nine you need. And I think we really need to get this one right in the January transfer window.
Talking about January.
Yeah.
Would you take James Ward-Prowse back?
Oh, I think I would.
Because he's been completely frozen out of West Ham.
I think he wouldn't be expensive.
No, not at all.
He want them gone. And I think he would.
Yeah.
I think, you know, should he have left? I think fair enough. Going to find football, Premier League football.
Well, I think he regrets leaving, because the only reason he left was to get England football.
That's captain hindsight, I think. But I think if I was Ward-Prowse and I'd be like, you know what? I think I'm a Premier League player. He's a Premier League player.
Yeah,
there's a Premier League player in there. I would have been, and I think the club knew it. It was like, do you know what, mate? If we get relegated, we'll let you leave.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was in search for Premier League football, in search for the England cap. It's just not gone well, bless him.
Mm.
And I think to come back to St Mary's, where it's all started, and just, you know, if we do get up, God forbid, soon enough, to score that record-breaking 1-3
to
kick
do it
that
back
he
with
really
us
needs,
would make the difference.
I think would be exceptional.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think I would have him back, and I think he was never really the problem at the club. At the end of the day, he died. He was like Romeo. He ran his heart out.
Yeah, he did.
And he was a good player. He was a really good player under Ralph as well, especially good player.
Happy to see Romeo back.
I think again we've been talking about the mindset of these players being quite fragile. kind of getting away with it, or, you know, especially when they pass it round. A lot of the time, I think they look to each other to kind of get them out of the mess. Especially when you're passing it around the back, it's like, I don't know what I'm doing, I'll pass someone else. I think Romeo is going to be the one to kind of get people over the line, to get people doing the second half, and to kind of, you know, again, Southampton way, right until the end. Mm. And that, you know, what first comes to that mind is that, you know, that Leeds tackle. On Rafinha, I think it's just says it.
It's just his whole mentality that we need back here. I saw Shane Long was on a podcast recently, and he was saying everyone used to hate Romeo in training because he'd still two-foot people.
Exactly.
We need him.
Well, I know the good thing about it back, you know, it's guaranteed that, you know, Romero to get one yellow card a game bet is back, really, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes,
good for the gamblers out there.
It certainly is good for the gamblers out there. You have some football hot takes.
I know
some of them are about to happen.
This one is controversial.
Go on.
I always said Russell Martin could work first year back, and Sport Republican.
But if Russell Martin was going to work, wouldn't it have worked?
What do you mean?
Well, you said Russell Martin could have worked.
Yeah.
If Russell Martin wouldn't it have worked?
There's just got unlucky, I think.
Do you mean first just with adaptability or injuries?
Ramsdale played a massive part on it at the end of the day. We were making the most mistakes out of any team needing to go. And that was a lot of it was when we played out the back. Mm. Of course, McCarthy's the shot stopper. He was never good on his feet, and probably so Joe Lumley. We had to have Aaron Ramsdale then. Getting him injured was a shame. But with Russell, with these players, we've seen it with Ralph. At this club at the Wild, it seems like we always are really inconsistent with results.
Yeah.
Championship season with Russell Martin, we were shaky at the start. You know, we were scoring last minute winners against Wednesday in Argyle.
Yeah.
Had that horrible run. We're losing, 5-0 Sunderland, I think it was.
Yep, 5-0.
And then we went on a glorious 26, you know,
unbeaten streak.
And then at the end of the season, wasn't that good. So, with Ralph, we were either losing 9-0 or we were top of the league.
Yeah.
And, you know, there could have been a point where I reckon we could have gone on a solid run at the start of the season if we kind of hit the ground running. It was a shame we didn't.
Yeah.
And then things went worse, and then the confidence just went rock bottom. And that's the issue with, I think, the players. It's a lot about mindset.
Yeah.
And again, we need to be a bit more consistent in recruitment as well. Mm. And I think, you know, I think genuinely Sport Republic have got, I'm happy they're here. And that's a hot take in itself, even with the fan base. I don't think it should be.
Well, like we said earlier, I think Sport Republic have done everything they can to do this right. Mm. And they've been unlucky with people coming in and poaching who they brought in.
Yeah. Well, okay, and also, here's a question for you. Where do you see Southampton in 5 years?
Where do you see Southampton in 5 years? It's going to go one or two ways for Southampton. Three ways. It could take a couple of years in the Championship. Well, sorry, two ways. A couple of years in the Championship, go up. Or it goes really wrong. We go down, recover, and then go back up. And hopefully do what Sunderland did.
Yeah.
Go down, just recoup. Because this club isn't going to disappear overnight. No matter what happens, this club is not going
to
disappear.
But I think it's obvious with Sport Republic's commitment to this place.
Yeah, Sports Republic are committed. I think they are the owners that can take us.
To some fans don't want them. I think we have to say sorry to Brady, but they've invested so much money into this club. And as a businessman, you're not going to go, do you know what, I'm going to abandon what I've started.
No. From the outside, I can see why some fans don't want Sports Republic. Hmm. But when you actually look at the situations of what's happened, they've done... I'd say they've done everything they could.
No.
Because, I mean, everything that went wrong internally as well with the Sport Republic structure that has now been completely changed with the leadership team within the club, they are fully committed to making this club work and making it a top team once again.
Yeah. And I think they do need to get it right quite quickly.
They do. Yeah. And I think there's a lot to fix.
And there's been some questionable, you know, why did we not replace Wilcox as quickly, or why did we sign X players? Why did we hire Ruben Sellers off someone? You know, some of these questions where you're like, I don't get it. But I think, would you be happy with a few years in the Championship? Again, for us, it's great. We get cheaper tickets. The games are funny as always. I love the Championship. I prefer it to the Prem in terms of entertainment quality.
Yeah.
However, would you want to spend, would you be happy to spend a few years in the Championship?
Well, first off, I can't see us going up this year. I can't. At this moment in time, like, depending on what happens with the manager and everything else, we could do, but right now I can't see us going up. So a few seasons in the Championship, I would be happy with, because if we go up and come straight back down, I don't want to be a yo-yo club.
No,
I really don't want to be a yo-yo club.
Don't want to
be. But I enjoy the Championship more because we fight at the top of the table. We're a good side. Well, not right now.
Well, I mean, that's what you want to see from your club to win games.
It's exciting, yeah. Whereas in the Premier League, you feel like you get to a certain point and then you stop. we got Europa League, then everyone raided our entire squad and it stopped. Because that league is just made for the big six and it's very, very hard to break into that. I'm very happy that they bought out the Europa Conference League, because I think any Premier League team that gets in there, whether it's Forest, Palace, Fulham, Bournemouth, Brighton, I think any of them can actually win it. So whichever Premier League squad takes that Conference League spot, I think they can win that competition. So I think it's a good one to have. But in terms of breaking further up with PSR and financial fair play, I don't think it's possible in this current format for a club like Southampton to get up there. But that does wrap up the episode 4. It's episode 4 of the Block 44. Episode 4 of the Block 44.
You looking to episode 5? Looking forward to it?
I'm looking forward to episode 5. That's tomorrow.
Oh, God.
Filming that tomorrow, yeah. So episode 4 and 5 coming very quickly. But that does wrap it up. If you aren't subscribed, please subscribe, because the majority of you watching this are not yet subscribed. So please do so and then turn on that notification button so you can watch the rest of our podcast. But we'll see you next time at the Vitality Stadium.
Don't slander me for anything, lads, please. Thank you. I do check Twitter.